Hello, hello. Okay, everyone, we're getting a little bit of a late start. It's 1:02 and time to start our meeting. We'll start off with the director calling roll.
Stephen Bergeron.
Present.
Tony DiMaggio, absent. Laverne Tunes.
Present.
Rob Pearson, absent. Gabriel Verdura.
Present.
Heather Viviziano.
Present.
Four members constitute a quorum.
All right. Thank you. Next up on the agenda. All right. Thank you. Next up on the agenda is a review of the minutes. Commissioners, has everyone had a chance to review the minutes that were circulated? Does anyone have any corrections or questions? Is it time to entertain a motion to adopt the minutes?
Chair, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
In regards to the minutes, how are we going to vote? We're going to just bundle them all together, or are we going to do them per?
I think we could bundle them all together.
Okay. Does that need to reflect in the minutes in regards to what the month and date of those minutes?
Yeah, I think it would be helpful if the motion includes the month of the minutes that were adopted.
And staff distributed the minutes for all of the April meetings, just as a reminder.
So could you just remind us, I don't see this on the agenda, remind us what those minute months are, please.
April.
It's April?
It's just April, and it's the VCC and the Architecture Committee minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So, Commissioners, do we have a motion?
A motion that we approve the April 2023 minutes for VCC as well as the Architectural
Committee.
All
right. Do we have a second for that?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Motion passes. Next up on the list is the chairperson's report. And first off, I would just like to thank our vice chair, Tony DiMaggio, who's not here today, for stepping up to the chair in August and September to ensure continuity of our operations here at the VCC. No doubt she did an amazing job chairing. Few notes on babies. I'm happy to be back with y'all after the birth of my daughter, and I also share the staff's joy in welcoming Nick back from his paternity leave. I also note that Commissioner Veneziano has returned from maternity leave and has brought her baby today. I just want to note here that our bylaws call for the election of officers to occur annually at the first meeting on or after July 1st. As we did last year, I'm recommending that we defer the election of officers until after any new pending commissioners are seated, which I think is going to happen tomorrow. So I think the staff is going to put that on the agenda for next month. And with that, I turn it over to the director.
Most of our director's report is going to be delivered by Renee today. However, I do want to thank and recognize Angela King for her many years of service on this commission. We all are extremely indebted to, it was wonderful having her with us during the COVID years, particularly when we were all remote, and she brought a little bit of joy with her gong and all of course, your dedicated service. And it's always been so much pleasure to work with you. We are not quite entirely sure what year she started. We do know that she has been here longer than she had bargained for, and we're very, very grateful for that. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
From the Chamber of Commerce, and that's going to be Vincent Weaver. I have a little bit of a packet here if anybody's interested afterwards on some of the projects that he's done preservation wise. If you want to take a look, it's a little bit long, so I only printed out one copy. Hopefully he will be confirmed at tomorrow's City Council meeting and will be joining us in November. He will actually replace Laverne from Chamber of Commerce, and Laverne, Commissioner Toombs, will be moved into the at-large seat, which is now vacated from Ms. King. So just a little update on that. So in front of you, I've also printed some out. Sitting up there by the agendas is the dates for the minutes, for the meetings for 2024. You will notice that the VCC meetings have been changed to 10 a.m. I sent out an email about that. Seemed to be a pretty good idea. Everyone was in agreement that that can work. Do we want to vote on those dates today, or do we want to? Okay. So just to put that out there, you guys have it now for review. And lastly, I wanted to give you guys an update on the plaques. I had a meeting yesterday with the subcommittee, Heather Veneziano, and Bert Tesler from the foundation regarding the plaques and the VCC guidelines for plaques. After Brooke from the foundation did quite a lot of research with the city of Charleston, it's come to our attention that this is all done through the Preservation Society and then permitted through the city. So that's how we are going to go from here forward. VCC will retain final approval through a formal vote, and this will protect our governmental speech aspect. And the foundation will go through the process with the applicant for the fee, the research, and then staff will go over it.
As long as the VCRA Commission retains final approval of the language of a plaque, then it will be government speech and therefore appropriate as to what the VCRA Commission wants to do. So and as long as you're not delegating that authority to a private or a public, a nonprofit organization. As long as you retain the authority to make it the actual determination as to whether that plaque will be, fixed and the language of the plaque, then that's fine.
Okay. And we do have a few more things to work out with legal regarding if this would be a proposed change to our guidelines. This is to be voted on by council. A few other things we need to go over, so nothing is set in stone yet. I'm hoping by November we will have a little bit more to put in front of the public. But we wanted to give you an update as to where we stand now. And that's it for the director's report.
Thank you. I do have a question. Do we have any information on the Louisiana State Museum's nomination of new individuals? Okay. Do we have any information on the administration's nomination of a person to fill the at-large, the other at-large seat that's vacant?
Are you referring to the domicile, the French Quarter residence seat? We have actually contacted several candidates and had them reach out directly to the mayor's office. Excuse me, which is the way this would naturally go. But we have not heard any feedback from Valerie Bolton, who handles the boards and conditions, or any recommendations from the area. But we are actively working on that as a staff.
All right, thank you. Commissioner.
Just so you know, Commissioner Bergeron, as for the state seat, Mr. Nemgesser is not putting anyone.
Is it only up to the lieutenant governor to nominate someone?
It is, because it's through the Louisiana State Museum, which is under his purview.
Does the State Museum have an executive director who he could delegate that to?
Possibly. I think Valerie has been in touch with him.
But it would have to be approved by the lieutenant governor.
Okay, well, he's fresh into a new term, so perhaps he'll get some energy and send us someone we can talk to. Look forward to having a full slate of commissioners on this commission, because I think that it's important to have a robust discussion, and especially from the State Museum. Those folks have a lot of knowledge, and they own a lot of property, and they should be here at the table. Commissioners, do we have any questions or thoughts on the director's report? Okay, seems like we're not voting on the dates for next year's meetings yet. Do that next time.
I just wanted to get it in front of you.
Got it. All right. Thank you. That brings us to new business and 434 to 40 Bourbon. I see we have an applicant. Can we please have the staff report?
434 through 440 Bourbon, 732 St. Louis, is a green-rated main building with brown-rated rear additions. This is a proposal to demolish brown-rated structures and construct a new three-story building with double gallery in conjunction with a change of use from bar to bar slash short-term rental. For application materials received January 8th, 2023 and August 15th, 2023, respectively. This property was last reviewed by the Commission on July 12, 2022, where a proposal to construct a two-story addition was considered. The applicant was given feedback on what could be found approvable for the site under the design guidelines, and several revised proposals have been reviewed at the committee level. The applicant is now proposing to demolish the ground-rated infill structure on the site and build a new three-story building, which will leave much of the green-rated historic building at the corner unchanged. The new building will provide additional space for the existing bar to expand to the second floor, while the third floor is pulled back from the historic building, creating a light well, so five of the seven existing rear windows would be left unaltered. The third floor of the historic building will hold offices, ADA compliant restrooms, and other service space. The third floor of the new construction will hold two new short-term rental units. The mechanical equipment for the site will be located on the roof of the new building, which is 41 foot 6 inches tall. The height of the access stair is not indicated, but must be below 50 feet in order to comply with the CZO. The front elevation on St. Louis is divided from three bays and has a stucco facade with a double gallery and denticulated cornice. The gallery is simplified in detail and has pipe columns on all three floors. The rail design is a vertically flipped abstraction of the rail of the historic green-rated building, but does not copy it directly. The stucco is shown with expansion joints, as is typical for contemporary stucco. The committee reviewed multiple options for fenestration on this elevation, and further revision is likely to occur during design development. Chapter 4 of the VCC design guidelines lists design principles which must be considered when evaluating the appropriateness of proposed new construction, including but not limited to scale, building form, setbacks, site coverage, architectural elements, facade proportions, and materials. While many of these criteria cannot be evaluated until the project has progressed further, the committee found on February 28, 2023 that the overall concept could proceed to the commission with a positive recommendation, with the proviso that any required Board of Zoning adjustments or Board of Building Standards and Appeals variances must be resolved prior to commission review. Since that motion in February, the applicant has consulted with zoning and the Department of Safety and Permits and found that any substantial renovation on the site would trigger a requirement for CZO compliance regarding open space. Much discussion was had regarding how the work could proceed without requiring a variance, but it appears to be unavoidable. Staff notes that the entire site has been covered since at least the 1876 Sanborn maps, and the first four rear elevations of the green-rated building have long since been demolished, as they are now interior. As such, staff recommends that the Commission forward a positive recommendation to the BZA supporting an open space variance at this property. Staff notes that demolition of the brown-rated building triggers a 30-day layover to allow for careful consideration and public comment, at which point the Commission must re-review the proposal prior to approval of any demolition. Consistent with the design guidelines, demolition may not be permitted until construction documents for the new construction have also been approved and permitted. Considering the new construction drawings will take more than 30 days to develop and further committee review will be required, final review of the demolition will return to the Commission at that time, not the November hearing. Staff recommends conceptual approval of the proposed demolition and new construction with a positive recommendation for the open space variance to be forwarded to the BZA and with design development drawings to return to the Architectural Committee for further review.
Thank you. See, we have an applicant present. Please state your name, address, and relationship to the property.
Ralph Long, architect, 601 Papworth Avenue in Metairie, Louisiana. Just want to say that I agree with everything in the staff report. This has been a long process that we've gone through, numerous meetings on the site and AC meetings to kind of hone this design in, and I think everybody's happy with it so far. So I'm looking forward to it moving on in a forward direction.
All right.
Here for any questions.
Okay, commissioners, do you have any questions for the applicant or the staff?
I have a couple of questions as far as the background and the progression of the elevations. In your report, you said it was originally watched as a two-story, but now it's a three-story. What's the background of the change?
so the initial proposal was proposed to be a two-story addition on top of the existing brown-rated structure. When we did more investigation into the brown-rated structure, we really found that it was not contributing to the historic nature of the district. And there were some complications, again, with trying to build on it as an addition. Since it didn't make any difference as far as the open space variance would be required for new construction or an addition as long as it's substantial renovation. That was when we started encouraging the applicant to start looking at a variance and doing this as a clean demolition, new construction from the ground up rather than a two-story addition on top of this one, existing one-story.
The other question, I don't know if your documents show it. Do you know what the adjacent building height is? I know you included the height for the property, with the existing building, but what's the height of the property?
I actually do not have that.
I just had some comments. I think it looks really great. I'm sure you're still there. Everyone's going to still be working through the proportions. Of the facade.
We're trying to get conceptual approval now so we can move.
Yeah, and then I think the only thing that sort of stood out for me was the height of the stair to the mechanical platform on the third floor, but I'm under the impression that that can also be resolved back in. There's some proportion and height issues, but I think overall, I think it's pretty good.
Good.
All right. Commissioners, yes.
I do have one more thing. Just a clarification. We are reviewing the change of use today and conceptual approval of demolition and construction. But you mentioned something that this has to go to another department layover. They have to approve the demolition and then it has to come back to the commission. Is that correct?
The EZA has to review a variance for the open space. Other departments are going to be looking, especially as the construction documents are developed, safety and permits, BBSA probably will be involved a little bit. The 30-day layover is not for it to go to another department. It's for the commission. It's, I believe, in the bylaws or in the guidelines that says that the commission needs to basically review demolitions twice. Review it once, you review it again 30 days later, or at least 30 days later, so that there's no staff decisions. The commission can choose to waive that, but generally that's only done for small things like sheds, really detrimental stuff. Usually the 30-day layover period is just there to make sure that the public has notice and everything's very carefully considered.
Commissioner Bruno, just to be even more clear, whatever we're approving today, conceptual approval, it is contingent on them getting that BZA waiver.
Okay.
So that needs to be stated.
Yeah, I just wanted to be sure we weren't conceptually approving it, and then next month we would be conceptually approving
it is contingent on them getting this waiver.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Commissioners, any other questions, comments?
Clear. Is it the first floor of the green graded structure then will be opened up to feed into the new structure? Is that correct? Or are they really two separate?
So right now the green, and Brene, if you can go back to one of the kind of aerial photos that will show it. So when all of the one-story brown rated structure was done, which goes back to the 1800s, the first floor of that back L at the green rated building was demolished to open that up to make it one space. So the new construction will attach still at the second floor. There will also be a couple of attachment points, at the first floor. There will also be a couple of attachment points at the second floor, which I think if you go forward one more slide, Renee, I think it will show it two more. Yeah, that's it. So if you look at the stair halls, that's where the two buildings will attach. But on the first floor, it will continue to be continuous as it is now.
All right, commissioners, any other questions? Do we have any public comment on this project? I see a public comment coming.
Savinsky, 1011 St. Philip, French Quarter Citizens. This whole project is so unfortunate. It's such a loss of history. And Mrs. Rodriguez, I know that nothing we say here today matters because they will just take it to the city council and get anything we say overturned. But this is extremely tragic that such a rare kind of building is going to be completely transformed. Talk about lost history. When we went through the whole short-term rental thing, I don't think anyone in the world thought that this sort of thing was going to happen. We are now changing buildings for short-term rentals at the cost of the French Quarter and history. All I can think about is that hideous building on Julia Street that has nothing but a facade and a whole modern structure around. Is that what we're going to do to the French Quarter? It's unfortunate. I know there's nothing that we can do here, and this is not about anything other than money. It is not about preservation on the part of the applicant, and it's really, really unfortunate, and I just had to put that on.
Just to be clear, we're not discussing the Entresol building today. We're discussing the brown-rated building to the left on St. Louis.
Yes, but I understand that.
Okay.
But it's the whole. It's the whole. I mean, no matter what you do, you're going to be seeing modern construction surrounded, overtaking antique construction. Now, I understand what you're saying. But this whole situation is unfortunate because if not for short-term rentals, would this even be happening? It's a series of events, and it's so unfortunate, and it's such a loss for history. And the one thing that makes New Orleans special is the old architecture survived, unlike New York, unlike a lot of major cities. Houston has hardly anything left, and it's so unfortunate. And I know that there's nothing we can do to stop it, but I just have to say.
Thank you. And just as a reminder to everyone, we don't get to talk about use. And today we're talking about the new construction aspect of this property. There are other proposals that we have talked about at other meetings. But today is just the new construction aspect and the demolition of the brown-rated structure.
And to be clear, we're talking about this portion right here being removed, that right there. That's the area that we're discussing new construction for today. The removal of this brown-rated wall, basically. So that's, I just want to make sure that the commission understands that that's the location.
Isn't there a full-on elevation of the new portion along the streetscape? Just this sort of.
Yeah,
I thought I saw that.
Yeah.
There's another one.
I got it.
Okay. Oh, I was wondering.
I mean, outside of some of the proportion that is still going to be addressed, and it does feel like it's a familiar where the streets are.
And what you're seeing at the bottom, the St. Louis elevation, that's the other side of the street. So that would be what it's, the mirror, the other side.
And actually the streetscape with the existing one story actually feels a little bit out of place versus what's being proposed here. This feels just a little bit more appropriate. To kind of continue that.
And again, as you stated, we have, this is conceptual. There's
right.
A lot of work to be done here. With this, with proportions, with height, all that stuff. Yeah.
All right, commissioners, any other comments or questions? It's time to entertain a motion.
Demolition and construction at 732 St. Louis, with the development of the drawings and proportions of the addition specifically to be reviewed from AC, and in addition, in favor of positive recommendation for the open space variance in the changes.
All right. Staff, is there anything else we need to include in this motion?
The 30-day layover should probably be included, or is that just automatic?
It's automatic.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we have a motion on the table. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor? Right, motion passes. It's unanimous. None opposed. Next up on the agenda is 914 North Rampart Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do have an applicant present, so let's have the staff report.
914 North Rampart is a green-rated main building and service building. This is a proposal to modify millwork and install mechanical wheelchair lift on side elevation in conjunction with a change of use from commercial to medical clinic. Current application materials received August 24, 23 and September 29, 23. Article 2.10 of the CZO states that within the Hooper A Historic District, no occupancy permit shall be issued by the Director of Safety and Permits for any change of use in any existing building until and unless a special permit shall have been issued by the Hooper A Commission, except that where no change of exterior appearance is contemplated, such permit by the Hooper A Commission shall not be required. While any change in exterior appearance is contemplated, the Hooper A Commission shall hold a hearing, and if it approves such change, shall issue a special permit to continue the same use or any other use not otherwise prohibited in the district, subject to the following conditions and safeguards. One, the historic character of the Hooper A shall not be injuriously affected. Two, signs which are garish or otherwise out of keeping with the character of the Hooper A shall not be permitted. Three, building designs shall be in harmony with the traditional architectural character of the Hooper A. And four, the value of the Hooper A as a place of unique interest and character shall not be impaired. The following work is proposed in conjunction with a change of use to medical clinic, which is an allowable use for this overlay district. The applicant proposes to install a wheelchair lift on the St. Philip elevation of the building, hidden behind an existing wooden gate. An existing anachronistic side entrance at the main building will be removed. The adjacent 2/4 double hung window will be moved to that opening, and a new wood and glass door with transom installed in the opening closest to the street. A wooden landing with handrail supports the new wheelchair lift. The door is not clearly seen in these drawings as it was obscured by the platform rail, but the number and size of lights appear to be influenced by the adjacent window and it is shown swinging out. The committee recommends conceptual approval of the millwork replacement with detailed drawings to return to the committee for final approval prior to permit, and that the Commission forward a positive recommendation for the change of use to the Director of Safety and Permits. Staff notes an unobscured elevation of the door and spec sheets for all hardware must be provided before the project will be scheduled for further committee review.
Thank you. Applicant, please state your name, address, and relationship to the property.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Tim Tell, Tarnal Fabak Architects, 1050 Norman C. Francis Parkway. I'm the architect. Next to me is Jason Landry, who is the director of Lafayette Foundation Clinic. Briefly, we're just trying to provide ADA access, as we will be change of use will be to a medical clinic from a current lodging house, and we're just trying to provide access for handicapped persons. So the work is very limited in nature. And being that this is a change of use, I'm going to let Jason describe more about his clinic.
Okay.
Sure. So it is a primary general medicine clinic open to the public. We are a nonprofit, so we accept all insurances, Medicare, Medicaid. We have a sliding scale for those who cannot afford it. And it's open to everyone of all ages and women, cisgender, transgender.
All right. Thank you. Commissioners, any questions for the applicant?
I have a question for staff. I did look at an earlier version of this. I noticed there were two options at the time for the handicapped lift. What was staff's recommendation or thoughts of one versus the other option?
So when it was reviewed by the architecture committee, as you said, there were two options. The first one is the one that you're seeing now. The second one, if you look at the plan and you see the porch on the left-hand side, those steps there, it was to locate the lift there. Because the entrance closer to the street has already been modified. It already has an inappropriate door, and it's closer to the sidewalk, I think, where the things that kind of made us lean towards option one, especially because option two, with it being further back, was going to require more changes to the courtyard, including drainage, pavers, all of that. Also, we felt that the addition in option one of that little platform with the lift on it was more of an additive element that would read as an adaptation to a historic building, whereas option two was reading a little bit like the porch was getting wider, and which was a little bit misleading.
And does this tail lift need a concrete pad underneath it? Do you have to modify the courtyard and the brick look to accommodate it?
Just slightly. There's currently a concrete slab there. Our hope is that it can be put right on it, but it may need to be leveled or adjusted slightly. It'll be probably unnoticeable.
In regards to the individual with the wheelchair, they will have to be, I assume, have to be dropped off. So in regards to the sidewalk, whose servitude is that? Would that be the city's servitude to make that handicap accessible?
That's correct, and that will be handled through the Department of Public Works.
So how would that work in regards if they have to have that particular sidewalk has to be handicap accessible, how would that work in regards to that person with a wheelchair get to where they need to go?
That have to be handled once again through the DPW, and the applicant would apply for a modification and a permit, so that wouldn't be a VCC issue.
Right, I understand that. The reason I'm saying this is because if a person who special needs, if they don't have the accessibility to get to where they're going, is that something that we need to think about?
If I may, there's already a ramp on the street, so it's already
yellow.
There's nothing that needs to be done.
So it's already handicap accessible?
Yeah. And also, just for clarification, you know, we are not required any parking, therefore no real zoning requirements for any ADA parking. But as Jason mentioned, there is currently a curb cut that serves that small alley where a person, you know, can park.
So we can drive a car up there, so it's already, I don't know what the word is, but you see from the street level.
There's currently a loading zone in front of the building because it's too narrow, or the length is not long enough for it to be a parking space. So it currently is already yellowed out.
This is next to the Best Western Hotel, which has a loading zone dropping, pass in, drop off. And the parking lot there to the right
correct.
Of us.
And the Best Western kind of overtook
yeah.
his building.
So that there are curb cuts already, yeah. That yellow portion that you see in the photo right there mm-hmm. is actually cut.
It should also be noted that the drawings call for a small sign and doorbell to be installed on that stoop. So that when someone is arriving at the building, they will be able to alert staff to the need to open the gate and allow them access from the side.
Okay. Commissioners, any other questions or concerns? Do we have any public comment on this proposal? I see a public comment coming.
We need to have public comment cards filled out, please. Thank you.
Nikki Savinsky, 1011 St. Philip. I live around the corner, and what a breath of fresh air. For the first time, I don't remember the last time we had a non-bar, non-restaurant change of use. This is fantastic. Such a need exists in the community. I don't think anyone is upset about this. It's thoughtful. It's not going to impair the look of the building. And to be honest, the bed and breakfast hasn't really kept it up that great, so I think we can only go up from here. I think that everybody pretty much welcomes this change of use, and it's kind of hard not to support it. We hope that it will succeed. I know we had a urgent care clinic on the other side of the quarter, and we really need something like this on this side, and this is a wonderful service for the residents. It's a fantastic change of use, and
hope to see more of this sort of thing and less bar restaurant and children room.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Commissioners, any other comments, questions? Are we ready for a motion?
I make a motion to approve and provide a positive recommendation for a change of use for 9 Baltimore Rampart.
All right. Do we have a second for that?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None opposed. Motion passes. Thank you. Last on our agenda is ratification of architectural committee and staff action since the Wednesday, September 20th DCC meeting. Have you commissioners had a chance to look at those actions? Do you have any questions? Do we have a motion to ratify? All right. Do we have a second for that?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Motion passes. That brings us to the end of our agenda. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to talk about?
I actually have something.
Okay.
I just wanted to make mention that the BCC Foundation Gala that supports the work of the BCC is going to be held on November 6th. That's currently being advertised.
Thank you. That's a great reminder. Ms. Toombs did remind me that a long time ago we entertained the idea of revising our bylaws and bringing them into the 21st century. And I don't know that any work has been done on that. I think we established a bylaws committee that never met.
We, due to staffing, immense staffing shortages in the last 6 months, and the shortages on this commission itself, we've sort of put that on the back burner. I'm hoping in 2024 we can get back to it. I know that it is important, but we're a little bogged down in a few other things right now. So hoping in the new year.
All right, and I'll note that enthusiastic commissioners can email the staff at any time with their suggestions for revisions to the bylaws. There are probably a handful of real good ones.
And while we're on that subject, if there are specific concerns about the bylaws that any commissioners do have, please get those to us specifically so that we can be working with our legal counsel and investigating what those changes need to be.
I think in our discussion, we were supposed to look at someone else's bylaws as a template that was more up to date. I just don't recall that organization. Was it the foundation or HGLC? Yeah.
It may have been the HGLC. I'm sure those are posted publicly somewhere.
They are, and I would be happy to forward those to commissioners if anybody wants to take a look at those. And then also bylaws that we have. Probably already have a copy of those. You can compare them and see if there's any things that are specific that you're concerned about.
If you don't mind just sending a vote to the top of my email.
Sure, no problem.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. If there's no other business to discuss, do we have a motion to adjourn?
To adjourn.
Do we have a second for that?
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye. We are adjourned. Thanks, y'all.
We need to adjourn now.